Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your RJ Ochoa. He is your 75, Mr. Two-time Super Bowl champion, Tony Casillas. Tony, happy Friday to you, sir.
Happy Friday to you, TGIF, and happy, was it national, hashtag national margarita day?
Oh, is it really?
I think so.
Well, you would, we got to find out.
Maybe I made that up.
I mean, no, it's a good thing to make up. You're going to head down to Margaritaville, some Jimmy Buffett?
No, it's just another excuse for go to happy hour and have a margarita. But you know how it is on social media, especially Twitter. Mm-hmm. It's always some national day to do something. So I just thought, you know, with the 750, we got to bring the Friday in. And what a better way than to wish you a happy National Margarita Day.
How do you like your margaritas? Frozen or on the rocks?
It just depends. Depends on
the mood.
Yeah, it depends on where I go, because sometimes, you know, to get in – more in the forensic part of it. Depends on what type of frozen, the mix and everything they use.
Really,
and obviously, but I like on the rocks. I mean, it just depends. Sometimes I just like my tequila on rocks. Depends on what flavor it is. But I'm probably more prone to a frozen dude, because it seems like during the summertime, it's so dadgum hot here.
Yeah.
Not like a cold margarita.
No, you're right. I mean, like, I think it is situational.
Lots of salt.
Yeah, if you're on a beach, you know what I mean, and the sun is beating down on you, that affects the answer. You know, if you're eating a big meal, that affects the answer. So there's a lot of
hydration.
Exactly. There's a lot of science that goes into this. That's what we're about. Tony, we've been dancing around this for a while now on the 750, but it's finally here. This is our last episode before the Oscars come out. You know, we've been on Oscar watch for a while. And so before we dive into the nitty-gritty when it comes to the Cowboys, I'm going to ask you, what movie wins Best Picture? Do you know all of the nominees?
For the most part, if you read them off, I remember them. I know Vice is up for Best Picture. Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's two.
The Star is Born.
That's three.
I have not seen The Wife.
That is not.
Unless,
I'm looking at Variety's list, and I'm not an LA Variety.
Oh, maybe
guy, but
maybe she's up. The Fatal Attraction.
Glenn Close is up for lead actress. You're right.
Yeah, she's up for lead actress. But other than that, I mean, there's three other shows, movies I haven't seen, but I've seen the ones I just mentioned.
So there's Black Panther. Then there's the Black
Klansman. Oh, I've seen that one too. I forgot about Black Panther.
And then there's the Black Klansman movie. I'm not a big like movie snob, so I haven't seen a lot of these. The favorite spelled with a U, Tony.
I've seen that one.
Green Book and Roma. My parents told me they watched Roma and that they didn't enjoy it.
It's hard to follow. It's all subtitled and I don't know. It's more of a documentary, but it's a movie. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, see, I don't like. What was that other movie that won? Was it The Artist? That was kind of like that. That had captions.
Yeah.
I'm not about that. If I'm sitting down on a Friday night with a bag of popcorn and some M&Ms, I don't want to read. I want explosions. I want hilarious stuff.
But evidently it's supposed to. The storyline is tremendous, and I hear it's supposed to be really good. And it's probably a little bit more artsy for me. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's a tremendous movie. But I have not seen that one.
Well, so of these, I've seen Black Panther, Bohemian Rhapsody. And A Star is Born. And you've seen all of those, plus Vice. So what wins?
You know what? I'm kind of torn between a couple of them. I know Bohemian Rhapsody is tremendous, and I think that the acting and just the whole, you know, Queen storyline and Freddie Mercury is just a tremendous. And the lead guy, my mind's going blank right now as far as what his name is, but he's a tremendous that part.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, that plays Freddie Mercury. I will say Vice... You know what? I've seen both of those movies, RJ, and Christian Bale, you would not recognize the dude. He plays Dick Cheney, and it's remarkable. So either one of those, but I'm probably going to have to go with the favorite. I've seen A Star is Born. That's a good thing. Lady Gaga did a tremendous job, and Bradley Cooper. But out of those three movies, I'd probably have to go with Bohemian Rhapsody for best picture.
I'm going to go with you. I really liked Black Panther. It was great. I wasn't into A Star Is Born. I mean, we watched it, and I was just kind of... In the movie's defense, I was working while it was on, so I kind of only had one eye on it, you know what I mean?
Right.
But it didn't really capture my attention. I loved Bohemian Rhapsody. It was great. Rami Malek, I think I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah, that's right.
He's,
yeah.
He's up Thank for lead
you.
Actor.
Thank you for that pronunciation there.
I might watch Vice this weekend. We'll see what happens. But
hey, you'll love it.
I'm with you.
You will be like in awe, like, that is not Kristen Bell. I mean, but yeah, I was surprised because I really think his best actor, without a doubt, it's got to be really a strong consideration for best actor.
You're getting me hyped. Last thing on the Oscars. So, I mean, if anybody that listens follows us on social media, I think it's pretty obvious how much I love Twitter. And I love Twitter for big moments. Like, the Super Bowl is so much better with Twitter, for example, because, you know, everyone, it's like the greatest sports bar in the world. Everyone's talking and whatever. Mm-hmm. And one of the best moments in the history of Twitter was the Oscar Moonlight fiasco. That was one of the most incredible moments that I've ever been a part of on Twitter. Just all of the jokes and everything that just spilled out. I'm just really grateful to be able to live stuff like that.
That was La La Land, that they actually
said
one best picture, and then they made a mistake. I believe it wasn't Annette Bening. It was Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty.
Mm-hmm.
God, I just felt so bad for them. I don't know. It was just a huge debacle in Oscar history. But it's going to be interesting, you know, as much as we're going to get into, you know, our coverage of the Cowboys, blogging the boys. But it's interesting how something like that can happen. I think the most thing is going to see there's not a host this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of intrigued by that whole thing that there's not actually going to be someone out there. I wish Kevin Hart would have went follow through and was the host, because I thought he's funnier than hell.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, no, maybe it'll seem like it goes by faster. I don't know.
I will say my last movie related thing. We've got HBO and all that for like 3 months. So I've been recording everything. And a friend of mine, a buddy of mine that is a good friend, he told me that the Jumanji movie was actually pretty good. And I thought
it's pretty good.
Well, I was like, there's no way it's that good. But you know, I trusted him and I recorded it and I watched it, and dude, I was surprised. Like, it was really funny. Like, I laughed.
How can you not like The Rock?
Oh, I mean, like,
and Kevin Hart.
It just looked like it was going to be cheesy. And I'm not a fan of remakes generally. But I really, really liked it. It was really, really funny. And I like Kevin Hart is funny, but after a while, I feel like he gets a bit repetitive with his comedy. Like, it's the same thing over and over again. But that was really, really, really funny. And
they got good chemistry between both of them,
totally.
You know. And so speaking of, it'll be my last, I guess, movie nugget. You know, I co-host a show on Sirius Satellite.
That's
right. Sirius XM Radio. It's a Big 12 show, 375. But so we're talking about today about Space Jam. They're coming out.
Oh,
you mentioned sequel.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, the sequel to The Greatest of All Time, The Greatest of All Time, Greatest of All Time is Michael Jordan. And LeBron's actually going to be the Michael Jordan version of the Space Jam 2, which is obviously the contemporary one.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. Are you on the train or off the train when it comes to this?
I think it's – so let me be clear. I like epic things. That's a big, you know, fabric of who I am. I like epic things. And that's why, like, the Oscars is really cool. And that's why I like Twitter, because it's this big, grandiose, epic thing that has epic nature. I used to say the word epic all the time. If that's not, I've thankfully weeded it out.
It's okay. You can over. You can use that. It's you know, you got to use that. I mean, I could think of worse cliches or terminology worse to use. But yeah, that's good.
So, like, LeBron joining the Lakers in general is a really epic thing. You're talking about one of the greatest players of all time joining this fraternity almost of greatness. And so that's a really epic thing to take place in Hollywood. And so Space Jam is this epic thing. And I'm of a generation where I was a kid, obviously, during the original. And so it holds a very special place in my life. And so I think it's cool. It's an epic thing. Will it be great? Probably not. But it's epic, and I at least appreciate the epicness of it.
Well, I only want to say one thing about that. Well, maybe I shouldn't even say it, because R. Kelly, I mean, I believe I Can Fly was a great song, and
totally.
We all know what's gone down with that. So, but yeah, I don't know. I guess, I mean, how do you reinvent that? How do you try to one up Space Jam? And my kids all grew up with it. You know, my oldest son, and I just remember, you know, it's just, it'd be interesting, but, it'd be interesting to him always trying to, you know, chase the goat.
Yeah.
And we'll see. A lot of pressure on, James, you know, James, you know, LeBron James to follow through on this one.
I do agree with you, though, that it's really hard to replicate things. I've thought about this before when it comes to the Cowboys. Like the success that you guys had, I don't know that you become, and not to take anything away, but you become the household sort of celebrities you all became if you have that same success. If what you did happened 10 years earlier or 10 years later, I think it happened at a very special, in a very special decade in American history. Obviously there was a big economic boom in the 90s and everything, it felt like, you know, that touch success really blew up. And so I think it was a really fascinating time. So to your point, I don't think you can create the time that's, because I've thought about that before, like, you know, Michael Jordan literally, you know, made a cartoon movie that centered around mm-hmm. his retirement and return to basketball. That's insane when you really think about it.
Right. And it's actually good. I mean, it really was. I mean, it was a good movie and, you know, it kind of transcended to everyone. And I just think to be able to follow that, you have to kind of do something different.
Yeah.
Kind of a different theme and a different, you know, different you know, plot and a different type of movie. So it'll be interesting.
I'm pumped to see who the new, you know, version.
The five guys
whose talents get sucked. That will be interesting. Who LeBron kind of helps pick.
I'm trying to think of the five. I know it was Sean Bradley. I know it was it Bugsy?
Yes.
Or Bugsy? Yeah. And then I know it was Charles Barkley.
Patrick Ewing.
And I'm leaving out the fifth one. There's five.
You've got Muggsy, Chuck, Ewing, Sean Bradley. There's one more. I'm gonna give you 5 seconds. See if you can get it.
Man, no, I can't get it.
Larry Johnson.
Oh yes, yeah,
yeah. I mean,
Grandma. How would I forget Grandma?
So last question on this, but it does kind of segue us to Cowboys. What was it like to be a professional athlete and at such a high level, obviously, with what the Cowboys were doing in the time of Michael Jordan? Because I feel like that had to just be insane. You know, like the professional sports climate had to be ridiculous because of him. You know, I mean, you guys lived a different lifestyle than most people in that day.
Well, you got to witness greatness. You know, the evolution of basketball has changed mm-hmm. as we've seen. What this week was Zion Williamson having to blow out with a Nike shoe and just the whole – and I could tell you a great story about that, about when I played, just kind of a segue into the 90s and shoes and everything else. First of all, I mean, Michael Jordan, I mean, over generation, think about what his name is worth still
totally.
To this day. People are still, you know, buying the Air Jordan or the Jordan, and they see that logo and they – I mean, how many people – recognize a logo? I mean Apple obviously people recognize, right. You know, logo Apple, but you know, maybe I'm getting a little carried away, but think about that brand when you see Michael Jordan holding up the basketball
yeah.
with his legs spread. I mean, you know people my age and certainly you, we can all comprehend to that. But real quick, I mean, the Apex, I mean, we wore a shoe that was league mandated by the NFL, and that shoe was Apex mm-hmm. and it was a garbage shoe. I mean, it was. So what we used to do, RJ, is that we all wore Nike, all right, because Nike was a better shoe, much better shoe, been around a long time. And speaking of, you know, Michael Jordan. So what we'd have to do, since if we didn't wear the shoe with the, you know, with the logo, you know, they had these guys that showed up and they were league guys and made sure that you had the proper uniform, the shoes, license and everything.
Right.
Well, what we do, we used to spat over, you know, tape over the shoe. All right, and essentially taped over the logo, and then took that Apex logo and taped it to the side of our shoe.
You cheaters!
Because it was horrible. Because well, I remember there was a couple times we'd be on the field and the whole sole would rip off.
Oh wow!
Apex.
Even with all the tape and everything, it would still.
Well,
rip off?
No, this was before the tape. Okay. This was just wearing the shoe.
Gotcha.
That's when we decided it was a garbage shoe, and that's why we had to wear Nike, because we couldn't wear the shoe because. It was a joke.
That's awesome.
We didn't have any choice. We either wore the shoe or get fined $20,000.
That's Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I'd rather just buy a pair of Nikes. You know, it's a lot cheaper
Yeah,
than
so
20
there you
grand.
go, Mike. Who didn't wear it? Who didn't
Wow.
have a pair of Jordans?
I had several growing up, but I will say my favorite NBA shoe that I owned growing up were the T-Max. Tracy McGrady's shoes were
Oh,
great.
yeah.
I mean, I love the Jordan's a different level, but I loved my T-Max shoes because I was in middle school then, and that was when I was playing basketball a lot, you know, and so it was different. But I did
No one
not.
ever talks about the old Chuck Taylors, the Converse.
No, those are great.
Everyone wearing those.
I
Think
mean,
about it. You know,
they're.
that's back in the old days, but I got a couple pair of still Chuck Taylors.
We're gonna have to get some 750 Jordans, I think, after this. I mean, we'll figure it out. Were there a lot of Bulls fans in the Cowboys locker room?
Yeah, I think everyone was a Chicago Bulls fan. I mean, the Mavericks, you know, here were, you know, first of all, I mean,
Well, at the time, yeah.
Chicago was America's team.
Yeah, certainly. That's what I'm saying. Like, it had to be
And maybe the
fascinating.
Lakers, you know, and the Celtics, but certainly it was Chicago Bulls because of MJ.
But it had to be really fascinating to be a Cowboy at that time, because the Cowboys and Bulls were sort of these crown jewels. You know, you were the
Exactly.
same, and so that had to
Right.
just be really cool to be linked that way to Jordan and to everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, it was such a decade of prominence, and I remember the whole thing when Michael Jordan decided he wanted to play baseball and retired, and then came back, and you know, the big focus and everything was on that. But yeah, I mean, it was just one of those eras where you got Michael Jordan, you got, you know, we thought we were the Michael Jordans of the NFL because we were so, you know, knocking down, you know, Super Bowl titles. But yeah, that was just a tremendous time to be, excuse me, relevant in sports.
Well, really cool stuff. And really, this is the time of year where I think people start to gravitate towards the NBA. I know I watched the Lakers Rockets game on Thursday night, and it was really great to see LeBron and everybody. But cool. So, free agency, Tony, man, you know, you get everything here on the 750. Free agency starts in about 3 weeks. And you know I like Twitter, you know I like the breadcrumbs, and a player who the Cowboys could be interested tweeted a video of himself. Let's talk about Tyler Eifert, tight end formerly of the Cincinnati Bengals, had a horrible ankle injury,
Oh, God, gruesome.
has only played, I believe, 14 games over the last 3 years. I don't know if you know, Tony, a lot of people know this. Tyler Eifert's sister, Morgan Eifert, is married to Zach Martin. So they
You know,
are.
I did not know that until you sent me the rundown. I did not do my research like you did,
Well,
but
they are brother-in-law, brother-in-laws, brothers-in-law. They're brethren,
brother, yeah, in-laws.
and so they obviously played together at Notre Dame. That's where Zach met Morgan. And I'm just saying, you know, I mean, it'd be cool if that happened. The Cowboys happen to have a need at tight end. It remains to be seen whether they'll bring Jeff Swaim back. They have the great, you know, the great ever great Blake Jarwin, obviously. They do have Dalton Schultz entering his second year, and they have Rico Gathers. Don't know if you know this, Tony. He also played basketball. That's right.
Man, it's been so long since he's been out of he's left Baylor. I forgot about that. Appreciate you remind me of that. You
so
beat me first of that, by the
I
way.
I know I know so
Knew that
Ty
was coming.
here's my thought on Tyler Eifert, because a lot of people have already connected this dot. Again, the guy's played 14 games in 3 years. He did have the remarkable 2015 season with the Bengals. They looked like they were going to challenge that year until Andy Dalton got hurt. I think, you know, we see guys like this in the NFL all the time. He could be in a situation where he needs a 1 year prove it deal. Let me let the NFL know I still got it. You know, what better way to let the NFL know than to go play for a team that the entire NFL watches that happens to have a need at your position? What are your thoughts on Tyler Eifert?
Well, I've heard of him. I knew he played for the Cincinnati Bengals, but you know, and I knew about the gruesome injury. Just you know, that just happened. Was it last year? So he played 43 games, and I think without even looking about at the you know the amount of games he's played in his career, it's 43. I started looking at some of the statistics, and I looked at. You know, that year you mentioned he had 13 touchdowns. That was in 2015. But I started looking at yards per catch. And if you look at yards per catch, about 12 yards per catch, which to me for a tight end, that's in the whole, you know, scheme of your offense and moving, you know, managing you know, downs and everything else. I'm like, you know, that looks pretty good. But the only thing I started looking at his ability to stay on the field. And, you know, yeah, I do kind of like the notion it's a one-year deal, maybe bring someone in like that, let him prove himself and see if he can last 16 games, which I got no problem with. I mean, it's just like, what are you going to bring him in here for? You know, what are the parameters of that? I mean, Blake Jarwin, as you mentioned, which to me is the all-time leader for touchdowns for a tight end in Cowboy history. But anyway, then I thought, well, maybe I would consider it. But again, it depends on what you have and who you bring it back. And, well, you know, Beaker gathers, are you done with the project?
Yeah, I think
a lot of things weigh into the decision.
We don't know how much Kellen Moore values the tight end position, you know, if he's going to be like Scott Linehan.
Yeah, good
and just
point.
Pretend it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So it is interesting, and I think it's something to consider. And Tony, you know, this is how the sausage gets made to everybody who's listening to the 750. This has been an interesting episode. Our Friday episodes are always interesting, you know, talking movies, talking basketball. And while I do certainly think that Tyler Eifert is an interesting option for the Cowboys, there is some massive breaking news happening while we are recording. And it certainly is worth discussing here on the 750. It doesn't have to do with the Dallas Cowboys. But TMZ, Tony, reporting that Robert Kraft, New England Patriots owner, the reigning Super Bowl champions, has been named by police as a person involved in a recent prostitution human trafficking sting operation in Jupiter, Florida. TMZ also writes multiple law enforcement agencies were involved in the operation, including Homeland Security, the IRS, the Jupiter Police Department, Palm Beach Sheriff's Office, and more. Officials say the women accused of running the sex trafficking ring operated out of local spas, which touted themselves as massage parlors. So Robert Kraft.
So if I'm listening to this report, sounds to me that maybe this was maybe someone going into a place like that. And I know it's just breaking news, but, and I'll pull it up on my computer and then check out the details of it. But, you know, when you just read that, I thought you just mentioned Robert Kraft and started, you know, human trafficking and everything else that goes along with that. I mean, so devastating news.
It's extremely devastating. Reports are flying at the moment. And again, we like to, you know, let the 750 be real and authentic.
Absolutely. And we got to do that.
This is happening while we were recording. Certainly not part of what we plan to discuss. But multiple sources, Tony, multiple outlets reporting that he has been arrested, in connection with all of this. And so I think you're right. In terms of your assessment of the situation, it seems like Robert Kraft, along with many other individuals, went to places like this that sort of build themselves as a massage parlor. It seems we're still putting together all of these details in the moment. And it was really something else. It should be mentioned.
Oh, and then I'm pulling up, and then I'm basically, as you just mentioned, this is another report. New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft charged as a John, quote. So a trafficking prostitution investigation. So yeah, that's basically went in there, got a massage and got more than a massage.
Wow. That is, first of all, a massive, investigation separate from Robert Kraft. Robert Kraft just happens to be one of the people involved here. This is quite unbecoming, certainly of any individual, Tony, and extremely unbecoming, I would imagine, in the eyes of the NFL. Robert Kraft is one of the more visible owners in the National Football League, certainly one of the more successful ones. Obviously, his success in New England is no secret. This is going to shake up the NFL landscape for a while. This is very, very, very big.
And I also report this report that I'm citing confirmed that there is video evidence of all the men being charged. So I don't know. It's you hate to hear things like that happen, I'm sure when it's someone like Robert Kraft, and you know, a lot of people either love or hate the Patriots. I think a lot of people that hate the Patriots are probably laughing right now.
Certainly.
But it's not great. It's not good news.
No, I mean, and obviously we hope everybody's all right and, you know, nobody's been hurt, you know, by any means. You know, I do think that this is, you know, we don't know anything right now. I mean, again, if you're listening to the 750, A, we love you very much. B, we don't know anything other than the initial reports that have come out. So it's really hard for us to comment on this in the moment, Tony, other than to say this is going to be a very, very, very large story for some time. The NFL never sleeps. I see tweets to corroborate your point, Tony, that the video looks like it will be found fairly soon. I'll ask you this. Really doesn't have to do with the story itself, but another situation where TMZ, who was the original report here, where they beat the NFL.
How does TMZ? They are so dialed in and so connected.
It is.
I mean, it used to be back when TMZ first started, like Harvey Levin. It seemed to me they were more like the, we wanted to believe the National Enquirer.
Oh yeah, I remember those days. Yeah.
Where and it wasn't, didn't know how credible it was. Hey, these dudes right now, man. It's definitely hot off the press.
I don't know how that works. I mean, you know, if do they
call dollar signs?
Yeah, that's what I mean. That, like, how much does what's TMZ?
They got a lot of sources, don't they?
Yeah, what's TMZ's annual budget for breaking stories? I mean, you know, it's got to be large. But yeah, I mean, lots of reports that the police have confirmed that Robert Kraft is involved and is being charged, et cetera. So we'll certainly have more to discuss next week, Tony. But for now, it's safe to say buckle up because this is going to get quite large.
Kind of changed our whole focus on the, you know, the Cowboys bringing a tight end to Kraft and my mayonnaise or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, and again, 750 is all things Cowboys, but we do like to discuss.
That's well worthy right there now.
Yeah, I mean,
it's well worthy news to talk about.
So, okay, let's get this this ship back on course, Tony. But again, we do want full authenticity here, which is why we dove into that. Tyler Eifert is certainly an option, but moving on from that, he did tweet a video of himself working out because his ankle injury that he suffered in Atlanta was very, very, very gruesome. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think the guy's worth rolling the dice. I mean, and everybody will say, yeah, if the price is right for the right price. Well, duh. I mean, everybody wants for the right price. But I'd be down to see what's up with Tyler Eifert. That's all I'm saying.
Well, what's going to be the market for someone like that? Again, it's coming off of, a horrible injury. Mm-hmm. And over his career, 43 games in a span where he had a difficult time being on the field. What is going to be the market value for someone like that?
It's going to be low.
I mean, exactly. So
That's why it fits because the Cowboys are bargain bin.
Yeah, shoppers. There's no risk. I mean, the risk is how much you're going to pay him and – you know, the Cowboys, you know, they got a lot of money that they can use. And I don't know which they're going to delegate that more to extending contracts. But, I mean, if you're looking for a tight end, 6'6", big target, and what I mentioned earlier, averaging 12 yards per catch, man, that shows up a little bit.
I agree. I mean, that's why he's one of those free agents that might not even make it on the roster. You know
exactly.
What I mean? Because you just
kind of like some of the trades that they made last year. You know, it doesn't. It's kind of a wash. You know,
it helps
no
everybody.
Risk at all.
It helps everybody. Again, if the money's right, it helps Tyler get his name back out there, get some eyes on his NFL career once more. He certainly. We know the Cowboys value familial culture. They certainly valued it in the case of Rod and Jalen Smith. Zach Martin certainly knows Tyler very well, serving as his brother-in-law. And, I don't know. I think it could work out. But
first of all, how would you like to have Zach Martin as your brother-in-law?
Dude, Zach is – if you're Tyler, though, I would be more scared if it was the other way around. If Tyler, for example, married Zach's sister, you know, if Zach was the protective one here, that would be more scary versus Zach marrying his sister.
Yeah, I have a little sister. I didn't think of it that way, but you sure don't want to make him mad.
Totally. So that's interesting. I wonder, you know, what the barbecue talks are like between them. But maybe they'll be happening in Frisco.
Well, it's interesting. That family, you know, Zach Martin, his brother plays for the Texans, and now his brother is a member of the Cincinnati Bengals. And I believe his dad, I don't know if his dad played in the National Football League or not, but, you know, all three of those guys, I think they all three went to Notre Dame, correct? I know, yes. Tyler did. I know Zach did. But his brother that played for the Texans, I think he went to Notre Dame also. Well, big Irish family. Catholic
fighting
family.
Irish. I mean, yep. good for them. The last sort of big thing that we had to discuss, Tony, again, Fridays are always interesting around here. DeMarcus Lawrence and the Hot Boys, some of the Hot Boys, it looked like were on vacation through my perspective in maybe Miami, something like that. Daniel Ross was there, and Tyrone Crawford was there. It looked like, just from photos, that Anthony Brown was there. All of the Hot Boys, Tony, made it a point to announce on social media that Anthony Brown is now an official member of the Hot Boys. So maybe there were some good times on the vacation, if that really did happen. Who knows? But Daniel Ross was Instagramming the whole thing, and on his story posted kind of a selfie video, and DeMarcus Lawrence is in the bathroom. The background, not the bathroom.
Exactly.
And he was wearing a T-shirt that said he needed money, and in the video, you know, he said, look at the shirt, and he said, money, I need money. And we're talking about a guy who, we're officially at the point now where teams can franchise tag players if they want. We've heard differing reports whether the Cowboys will or won't tag DeMarcus Lawrence, but they have not as of the time you and I are talking, which is a Friday early morning. But the guy clearly wants some money. I can't say I blame him.
Yeah, I here's the thing about it. He's been with franchise last year, made, what, 17 mil.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the Cowboys are going to do this year. I would say they'll probably go ahead and put a franchise tag on him and hope that they'll be able to work something out, an extended contract. And I think DeMarcus Lawrence, I think a lot of question was before this year. He's had, what, two, you know, last year, year before, had tremendous years and kind of warned and looked, this guy is worth paying top money, mm-hmm, for 1 year deer. Now, it's, you know, with the injuries and off the field, looks like he's moved past that maturation and just what he's meant for this defensive line, especially their defense when it comes to sacks. So what's the dilemma with the Cowboys? What's it going to cost? He wants probably over $20 million. He wants kind of a Khalil Mack type of deal. What would that be, like 4 or 5 year guaranteed money? So we're talking a hell of a lot of money. So I think Khalil, would he have like 76, 80 guaranteed? This is ridiculous contract, or maybe not as much. But the bottom line is the Cowboys are going to come up and spend money. They're going to have to really, it's not going to be the franchise. And I don't blame him. I mean, it's a message that he sent. Does he deserve it? I guess you can ask yourself, or the team can ask yourself, what would you do if DeMarcus Lawrence hadn't been a part of this team over the last 2 or 3 years? When you look at sacks and the impact he's made on one player, what has the impact been on this defense?
You know, I think he's worth it, personally. I've gotten in some Twitter discussions this week with people.
How are you going to replace all the sacks?
You can't.
How are you going to replace? You can't.
Okay, so a few things here. You mentioned Khalil Mack. Back, obviously, right before the season began, got traded to the Bears, mm-hmm, and signed a six-year, $141 million contract extension with 60, that's 6-0, not 750.
Yeah.
But $60 million guaranteed. That's a lot of
cash.
That's a lot of cheese. And so, yeah, I mean, this is the gamble you took. You didn't pay him last year, and there was logic to that because he'd only done it really, you know, at that level,
absolutely,
1 year. But
great business. Yeah.
But now the Khalil Mack contract has happened, and that's a reality. And so if you're DeMarcus Lawrence, it's totally fair to want more than that because that's the way business works. Nobody in their right mind would ever be like, hey, you know what, Tony? I don't think I'm as good as that guy. You can go ahead and pay me less. I'm fine with that. You know what I mean? That's just ridiculous. The worst take on this, Tony, has been, well, where was DeMarcus Lawrence against the Rams? That's just enough with that garbage. That's ridiculous. By that logic, where was Aaron Donald in the Super Bowl?
Was Khalil Mack when in Chicago? We can all do that. Well, first of all, you're not going to let those players beat your ass every game, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean,
you're going to double them. You're going to make sure that they're so. Yeah, that whole notion and that theory is just ludicrous.
It's absurd. Now, when I say that he's worth it, the context that I would like to provide is that he's worth it in the market value of what exists. I mean, you know, is he worth $20 million, $21 million a year? I don't think you can look at it that way. I think, is he worth being paid what the best pass rushers in the NFL are paid? Yes. Okay, we've determined that. What are the best pass rushers in the NFL paid? $20 million a year. Okay, that's the price of business. That's the, you know, I think the silly part here, Tony, is you like, not you specifically, but you hope that you have players that are this good that you can pay. And it just boggles my mind that, you know, these people, they don't want to pay DeMarcus Lawrence. They don't want to pay Dak. They don't want to pay Zeke. I mean, it's like, dude, you got to pay somebody. You know, like, at some point, if you have good players, they're going to want to get paid. Welcome to the world.
Yeah, I mean, last year, as I mentioned, made, $17 million, had 23 quarterback hits, 15 tackles for loss, 10.5 sacks, and 2 forced fumbles. So he's definitely a top-tier free agent. And you mentioned it. It's a good point about what's a market value. You know, what's that going to represent, you know, for me? I think for me, when I look at that, and you made a good point about it, where you the value and the risk that you take if you – you don't extend a player a contract, but on the flip side of that, you want to make sure that this guy is going to turn into a player that you hope he does. And again, he had a little baggage because of what happened with off the field and not being healthy. So now it's time for me to get paid. You know, I did everything. I lived up to my bargain, and the market in the National Football League, and you know this, RJ. And everyone out there should know this, that if you perform, you do the right thing, you show up, you're a good soldier, and you're a superstar, you get rewarded for it.
It's the way business works. And my last bit on this is, and I wrote about this week at BTB, this should serve as a cautionary tale of what could happen with Dak Prescott. There was some logic last year to not paying DeMarcus Lawrence because, you want to see him do it again? Well, guess what? You saw him do it again. This is the price you got to pay now. And with Dak, there's tons of people, and you know this, Tony, that don't want to pay him, don't think he's worth it, thinks he sucks, whatever. And guess what, dude? If you think Dak is expensive now, wait till next year when he is his contract has expired and he has more leverage than he has now. That ridiculous amount of money that you think you're going to pay him now, you're going to pay him that plus some next year. I mean, you got to do it. I mean, you got to just you want to pay good guys. Welcome to, you know, these are first world problems.
Well, here's the thing also is that you hope Randy Gregory, you don't still, I mean, do you trust Randy Gregory? Is he going to, I mean, this is a huge offseason for him. Can he do everything? Can they trust him? Then on the flip side of that, David Irvin, he's gone. They're not bringing him back. So then you look at their defensive line and what playmakers do they have? You take DeMarcus Lawrence off that defensive line.
Boom.
Horrible. Yeah. Horrible. I don't mean to be so explicit about it, but not a very good defensive line when it comes to rushing the passer.
You're right. And if Randy Gregory takes the next step, cool. You know, good. You have two awesome pass rushers. You know, there are way worse problems to have. But people, Tony, they want to build the best team for the cheapest amount. That's impossible.
But here I'm thinking $17 million a year just for ranch. I'm like, dude, that's more money I made. And, you know, I did okay. But $17 million in 1 year, people are like, oh, man, that's a lot of money. That's enough money. Well, no, it's not. It's all about guaranteed money.
Yeah.
Being able to, you know, he's almost 27 years old. He's in the prime of his career. It's not going to get any better than this contract coming up.
No, and if you're DeMarcus Lawrence, never again in your life, ever at any point unless you hit the lotto, which obviously is extremely small odds, you will never be in a position to make this type of money ever again.
Exactly.
Even if he, you know, gets to another contract in the NFL, you mentioned his age. He'll be significantly older then. Yep. He'll have lost, you know, a lot of luster in the eyes of NFL evaluators. This is it. This is the moment. This is the opportunity you have to cash in. Good for him. I mean, I wouldn't just wear a shirt that said I'd need money. I would have streamers around me all the time. I would have a neon sign walking behind me 24/7.
That's a message they send. obviously, to the organization, everyone else out there, like folks, hey, you think you got me cheap? You only got me. You got me for $17 million for 1 year, but I want a whole lot of $17 million.
And you know, the guy deserves a lot of credit, Tony, because there we've seen guys, certainly names like Le'Veon Bell, and Le'Veon did play on the tag once, but you know that don't like being franchise tagged and that won't play on it. DeMarcus said, "Okay, you know what, man? You want me to play on this tag? All right, let's do it." He really did put his money where his mouth was, and he delivered. I mean, the guy called his shot and he made it. I mean, that's respectable in my book.
And that's one thing about it. Look at this too, in the player's mind and perspective. DeMarcus Lawrence could have got hurt this year. Okay, he could have had a really bad year. I mean, he couldn't have had 10.5 sacks
and
or made a big impact.
He played through a torn labrum. I mean, yeah. In the middle of all that.
So he validated his worth, his value, and that's the thing that you can do. And I think that's maybe the cow. I mean, everyone's got to appreciate that. I mean, you got to, and maybe that's what they see. They see $17 million in a franchise or whatever. But no, I mean, he wants now. He's already, to me, I think he's already been through the risk. You know, he risked without being paid. And I think he understood that. Yeah, I get that. I'll take the $17 million, but then I'm going to go out there and I'm going to show you guys I can ball, that I'm worth more than that. And guess what? He did exactly what he needed to do.
Good for him, man. Good yep. for him. This was a crazy episode, Tony. We had some hurdles and some situations. Again, I think our closing thoughts are we hope everybody's okay. It's horrible to hear what Robert Kraft is involved with. We don't have much information as of now. But we'll have some next week, certainly, because, right now, though, Tony, I will say that the NFL is saying, okay, what do we have? What story can we just get out right now? Like, wow. What can we dump right now that won't get seen by anybody?
It's always something, isn't it?
It really
– That's I was, why it never
– Yeah, I mean
– Whether it's a player, whether it's, Roger Goodell, whether it's an owner, just never –
I've thought probably at four different points. We've seen it all. You know, I've thought we've seen everything.
I always like your breaking news deal because I'm like, okay, give me some good news we can talk about. I'm gonna go straight to Anna Mia's and have a margarita.
Yeah, go get you one on the rocks. Tons of salt. Get a plate of nachos.
It's not 5 o'clock yet, so it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It's 7:50 o'clock, Tony. That about does it for us. Everybody have a good weekend. We'll be back next week. This was the 7:50.